good afternoon, Key Point. How are you today? Come on, how's 11:30 service? I like this group. Y'all have already had a few cups of coffee and some Krispy Kreme or IHOP, and y'all ready to go. All right. Well, we're going to jump into a new series today, and you know, how you begin something is extremely important, and I prayed about what series to start this year with, and I really believe the Lord gave us a specific message for this church, and I really believe this message today could impact your life in an amazing and supernatural way if you were to really lean into it and allow the Lord to speak to you through it. So right there where you're sitting, let's press pause for a moment and pray before we get into God's Word and ask Him to help us hear what we need to hear. Jesus, we thank You for the opportunity to be in church today. We could be all over the world, but Lord, we're right here at the 11:30 service in Bentonville. And Lord, I thank You're going to speak to every single in here, every single again, every empty nester, every married person, every young person. And Lord, You're going to speak to us specifically at our need. And Lord, I ask You to help me speak a word specifically to those that are in this room, to hear the Holy Spirit as I speak, and speak with authority. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, I need a better amen than that. Amen. All right, that's good. I like it. Well, the series is entitled Ask, the Power of a Question. And the title of today's message is real simple. It's Why People Don't Ask. Now, the heart of this message came from a book that I was reading. In fact, it had nothing to do with the book. The book was on finances, but in the back of the book was about five or six different stories. And this was one of the stories, and I read it, and it kind of spoke to me. And from this story, I believe we're going to be able to help you in 2017. And the story was about two Russian submarines on two different occasions had some issues with the engines, and they sunk. The first one was in 2000. It was in the Barents Sea, and it had an electrical problem and an explosion. There was 113 crew members aboard, and before the sub hit the ocean floor, most of them were dead, but there were 23 still alive. And they called back for help, and the government had to make a decision. Are we going to call out for help and expose where the submarine is, maybe showing that our country is not as good as we think it is? And they made a decision to not rescue that submarine. They made a decision not to ask for any help. And then 5 years later, another submarine, it was a little bit smaller, had seven crew members in it. It got tangled in some fishing net, and they called out for help. And Russia didn't want another PR nightmare on their hands, so they decided to ask for help. And within days, several countries sent their best to offer support and offer help, and those seven crew members were saved. And you have the tale of two Russian submarines that really had two profoundly different outcomes, one being very tragic, and on the other hand, one being triumphant. Well, what made them different? And the reason why is because the Russian government decided after the first tragedy that they were going to ask for help. And asking is extremely powerful. Asking is extremely powerful. Here's a working definition of what we believe asking is. It's taking the time to know what I need and then verbalizing it to someone, God, who I believe has the power to help me obtain what I need. If you look all through Scripture, God tells us on multiple occasions to ask. Asking is biblical. In fact, it's how you became a Christian. If you're a Christ follower today, at one point in your life, you had a moment where you sensed God moving in your heart. And what did you do? You asked Him to come and live and rule in your heart and be the Lord of your life. And in a moment, at the end of this service, we're going to give you that opportunity. Maybe that's the question you need to be asking Jesus today, to come and live in your life. But asking is found all throughout Scripture. John chapter 16 and verse 23. He says, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to teach you how to ask and how to ask in God's name and how to ask according to his will. You know, we can't treat God like some celestial Santa Claus and go, all right, God, give me a Maserati, two of them. You know, I mean, come on, really? I mean, we can't treat God like that. But we ask, and it will be given to us in his name. Until now, verse 24, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Is it possible that you are lacking joy in your life because you're missing something, and the reason why you're missing it is because you hadn't asked God for it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. It's a big word right there. James chapter 1 and verse 5. I love this prayer. I pray this prayer over myself as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a leader every day. And I ask you to pray it with me. Pray it over your family. Pray it over this church. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. I like this. This makes a crazy Cajun boy excited. He gives generously. Not just enough so I can make a C minus, but he gives generously so I can make an A plus. Come on, somebody, say amen right there. Ask, if you lack wisdom, ask and he will give generously without finding fault. Man, that just throws a lot of our theology out right there. Who am I that God would give something to? Without finding fault, it will be given to you. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. We're going to teach you how to approach God in confidence and ask according to his will. Because it makes a big difference when you're not confident with your Heavenly Father how you ask. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Now, I could go on and on and on with scripture, but I believe you get the point. It's very important. Asking God is an extremely and essential part of living a Christ follower's life. Billy Graham said it best. He said, heaven is full of answers to prayers which no one ever bothered to ask. I love how James states it in chapter 4 and verse 2. You hear this scripture quoted a lot. You do not have because you do not ask God. The King James Version is, you have not because you ask not. Think about that. You have not because you ask not. There is a strong possibility that there's things in your life that are missing because you haven't asked for them. Maybe something that you need. Maybe a transformation that you want to experience. Maybe a healing because you haven't asked. Now, what are some of the things that hinder us from asking? We put together an extensive list, but we came up with the top five, all right? Now, they're not in order. I think they're all things that hinder us. The first one that hinders us from asking God is the lack of the knowledge of the Word. People just lack the knowledge of God's Word. They don't know what God's word says about a certain situation, and because of that lack of knowledge, they don't ask. Hosea chapter 4 says that my people are destroyed because of lack of wisdom or the lack of my word. The second one is people think that God isn't that interested in them. So many people struggle with this one. Why would God want to do something that good for me? Who am I? What is it that God wants to do in me that helps me? Really, I'm not that important to God. I was dealing with a gentleman who had a lot of issues going on in his life. Some of them that were out of his control. Some of his issues he caused. And it was a moment where he was just confessing to me, and he was telling all these things to me. And I could hear the tone of his voice, the pain, the agony, I could hear the hopelessness. And there was a brief pause in the conversation, and I didn't know what he was going to say. And in all sincerity, he said, PC, will God ever be able to forgive me? And from hearing him speak for 30 minutes about his condition and his life and how he viewed God, it was that doubt was seeded in this foundation that God is just not interested in me. And I told him, absolutely, yes, he cares for you. He is very concerned about you. Don't you ever think for one minute that God is not interested in you. He will and can forgive you. The third hindrance from asking is people are afraid. Just simply afraid. Afraid maybe to let go of an issue. Come on, I know I'm talking to somebody in here. You don't want to let go of an issue because they fear it may not turn out the right way. So what they do, they hold it. They're not going to ask for help because I can control it and manipulate it and I know the results maybe. They're just afraid. Maybe you're the kid in class that is afraid to ask a question. You need answers, but you don't want to let everybody know, hey, I don't know. And that was my case. I wasn't ever going to ask a question in class. Are you crazy? Shoo. I'll pull the teacher aside after. I'm not going to let people know my education whenever I ask a question. It may not be dumb to you, teacher, but to my peers, that's really dumb, all right? I'm not doing it. And for some reason, we just get afraid to ask God. Then people, and I think this is one that a lot of people struggle with, they're deceived by pride. Deceived or maybe controlled by pride. Psalms 10:4 says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God. In other words, when I'm in a crisis situation or I'm looking for help or trying to find hope, God does not even come across my mind. And that's pride. God calls that pride. And you know what pride will do? It will convince you to think that you're okay. It will cause you to start comparing yourself to somebody else. Woo-hoo! Did you see what happened to her? Did you see her Instagram today? Oh, her Facebook, man. She, poor thing. Boy, you're kicking dirt on her. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, at least I ain't as bad as her. Whew. We've all been there before. That's pride. And what pride will do will keep you from saying, I need help. Pride will get you to compare yourself to someone else whose problem is much bigger, and you'll never get help. It's pride. Pride. Number five, I think one of the main reasons people are hindered for asking God is that they're disappointed because the last time they asked God to answer a prayer, it didn't happen. And they're left going, God, where are you? Just disappointed with unanswered prayers. And really, is that how we're going to treat God? And honestly, I've been in all these places before, and some of them are a lot harder than others. I've been there when I called out on God's word to heal my daughter who had cancer, and it didn't happen. I've been there before where I have disappointed prayers because they weren't answered, maybe according to my timeline, or maybe according to what I thought should take place. But I had to make a decision. My wife and I had to make a decision. These are not going to hinder me from continuing to ask God. And in 2017, my wife and I and our staff, we have written down some big ask from God. If he doesn't show up for our families and our church and your family and the future of Key Point Church in Northwest Arkansas, then we are going to fall flat on our faces. So I ask you this morning to honestly ask yourself the question, what is it that hinders you from asking God? We're on the seventh day of a fast. Many of you are fasting, and I commend you for that. And this week, we have been stirred to continue to ask God to save the lives of people, to bring laborers into the church. And I want to bring your attention to Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had a few moments with his disciples, and he's trying to get them tracking in the right frame of mind. And he says, listen, guys, the harvest is ripe. And what he means by that is the people out there that will give their heart to Jesus, they are one ask away, and they are numerous. They're everywhere in Benton County, in Washington County, college students, high school students. They're everywhere. But here's the problem. We don't have enough laborers to go out in the fields and ask them, hey, do you want to give your heart to Jesus? Do you want to attend a life-giving church? Do you want to find hope in a hopeless world? And he says this amazing verse in Mark chapter 9 and verse 38. And in the NIV, it states it this way: ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And that's what I'm asking you to continue to ask with me in this church, in this staff. Ask the Lord every day to send Key Point Church. And let's go beyond Key Point Church. Send all the life-giving churches that are saving souls and helping people find freedom. Lord, send them laborers. I ask you to send us laborers. And you know what a laborer is? A laborer is someone who can come and put their hands on a plow and say, PC, Pastor Spencer, Pastor Jordan, this is the lane that God has called me to run in. These are my gifts. These are my talents. These are my resources. Come on, we're going to advance the kingdom of God. And they competently and they diligently sow the field that God has put them in. And they ask, Lord, send us laborers. Send us more volunteers to Key Point Church who can shake hands at the door and make people feel welcome when they come in. You know, that's the number one thing people say about our church. It's the happiest church. It's the friendliest church we've ever been to. And my question is, well, man, what kind of church did you come from? Really? But we pray for laborers to help volunteer, to help lead, to help lead worship, to help with our technical, to help finance the gospel, not only here in Northwest Arkansas and Benton County and Washington County, but all over the world. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask with me. Join your faith with me. And let's ask God to do something amazing in Key Point Church in 2017. Amen? God has so much in store for you and your family. Yes. It's time we start asking. It's time we start asking. You know, I want to lead a church of Christ followers who are vocalizing the things that they need to God on a daily basis. And not only that, but I believe God wants a group of people that he can look down from heaven and say, that's my people right there, who are asking God, who are big enough to ask God to do something supernatural in their life. I believe that's what God is asking from us. Will you just believe me? Will you just think big? Now turn with it to Mark 10, and I want to highlight a character in the gospel that really speaks to this message. He needed a miracle, boy did he, but he had a lot of hindrances, but to his credit, he pushed past all those hindrances, and he got his miracle simply because he asked Jesus, all right? Mark chapter 10. And we're going to read this morning in the English Standard Version, which is a version I've been really enjoying lately, the ESV. This is what the Bible says. As he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, we're talking about Jesus here, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Now let me unpack this passage for you. Jesus and his disciples were going from town to town. They were doing all these, Jesus was doing all these miracles. Word was out. Facebook was blowing up. Hashtag Jesus Heals was trending, all right? I mean, they were going crazy, all right? So blind Bartimaeus, look, to make matters worse, I mean, to be a beggar on the side of the road is bad enough, all right? But to be a blind one is even worse. I mean, that's like a double negative here, okay? And the Bible doesn't tell us how long he was on the road. It just tells us he was by the roadside. Don't know if he was in his house that day and decided, you know what? I'm going to see Jesus. And he goes out there. That's beside the point, all right? Really, the point is that the condition that he was living in was dictating his life. It was controlling his life, and it didn't need to. And as fate would have it, a man, the man, who could help him with his miserable situation, heard him begging. And listen to me, you're only one scream away from God hearing your cry, amen? God is always within an earshot of your prayers. Don't you ever forget that. In verse 47, it says, and when he heard, this was Jesus of Nazareth. I love that. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48 says, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So a few things here you got to understand. Blind Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was, and he knew what Jesus could do for him. It wasn't just, hey, dude, if you can, or hey, aren't you some prophet? I heard you're a good preacher. No, it was Jesus. He called him by his name. He didn't have a lack of the word. Obviously, there was a point in blind Bartimaeus' life, maybe that he read some prophecies from Isaiah that talked about the coming Messiah and what he would do, would heal people and set people free. Wow. But of course, as in any time we start saying what we want, there's two things that we're going to find opposition from. Number one, the enemy. Anytime you start crying out to God and wanting a change in your life, I guarantee you the enemy is going to show up right there on your doorstep. Who are you to be asking Jesus to come and heal you? As a matter of fact, he's already passed you by. He's headed out of town. You missed your chance. You're being selfish anyway. Stop being so radical. Why would Jesus want to come and heal such a low man on the totem pole like you? You're blind Bartimaeus. Your prime time has left you by. Just go back begging. Maybe these people were trying to get God's attention as well, and they had a need, and they were screaming louder. But the Bible says he screamed even louder. Here's how I interpret that. Blind Bartimaeus said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and here's my chance to get rid of this horrible situation in my life, and I'm not missing my opportunity. I'm not missing it. The moment you begin to speak out what you're going to do, well-meaning people will come to you and say, oh, don't you think you're just getting your hopes up? Sometimes whenever God gives me a dream that's so big, I don't even like to tell it to people because I don't want to hear their doubt. I don't want to hear their criticism. I know there's a lot that could be said about it. And these people were screaming, no, don't even try to go there. Don't even, just hush. Don't even worry about it. You know what that tells me? That who you listen to is very important. That's why we do life groups. It's not just another program we have. It's so that you can go and get involved with a group of people that think like you, that speak like you, or you want to speak like. You can get involved in a group of people that have conservative Christian values, and they're heading in the direction that you want to go, and you can ask, say, hey, I need your help here. And they can ask you, hey, I need your help. And you can listen to what they say, and they can listen to what you say. Who's speaking to you is very strong right now. And if you want to have a breakthrough year in 2017, you need to think about some of the voices you need to turn off. He didn't listen to him, thank God. You want to know why? Because I think blind Bartimaeus was ready for a new life. And until you get sick and tired of being where you are not going to change. You're not. And so often, I get phone calls from people who are hanging on a thread over a cliff, and their marriage is about to fall. And they finally ask for help. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why didn't you ask 6 months ago or a year ago? The problems wouldn't have been this bad now. And I think sometimes we need to understand that asking is a normal part of Christianity, and God would rather you ask now than wait till later when the problem is 10 times as bad. I think asking should be a normal part of our life. Verse 49, and Jesus stopped. Woo, man, imagine this. God, this excites me. And he said, call him. What? Who's calling out to me? Who is the one right now screaming louder than everybody else? Oh, that's old blind Bartimaeus. He's just old coot. Leave him alone. Don't waste your time with him, Jesus. No. Go get him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, can you imagine the messenger? Hey, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus wants you. I didn't tell him anything. I know what you did last night, but I didn't tell him. I guarantee you blind Bartimaeus is thinking, what does he know? Oh my gosh, he found out what I did last year. I'm in trouble. Go get him. Take heart. Whew, this is a word for somebody in here. Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. Throw off your cloak. That's exactly what the scripture says he did. And he threw off his cloak. He sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, this is awesome. This is the best part of the story right here. All right, blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus is a smart guy, right? Jesus is all-knowing, right? Shake your head. Yeah, he is, all right? He's very smart. He's really smart. And this is a blind beggar. Surely, Jesus, you know what he wants, all right? What was the point? What was the point in Jesus asking blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? He probably already knew it. All right, hold on. You can just see Jesus covering his eyes. Hold on. Let's play a game show here. All right, come on. Let me guess. All right, give me 20 seconds. 20-second countdown. All right, let me guess. All right, you busted your knuckle this morning, and you want me to heal it, huh? Jesus could have said, oh, blind Bartimaeus, I know your problems already. Be healed. Go. But he didn't. If you don't hear anything else this morning, you need to hear this. His sight was half the problem. Jesus healed him of his sight, and the other half was his soul. See, when you begin to ask questions to God, you start this dialogue, this conversation, and through those conversations, you have this encounter with God, and it changes your life. Jesus not only wanted to touch him physically, but he wanted to touch his soul. That's why he said, you tell me what you want me to do for you. He wanted blind Bartimaeus to vocalize to him, Jesus, I need you to help me recover my sight. Not only here, but here. And the scripture goes on to tell us in verse 51, and the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Once again, he called him for who he really was. And Jesus said to him, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on his way. Right there, blind Bartimaeus not only received his sight so he can physically see, but he received sight in his soul and he began to see Jesus differently. Why? Because it tells us that he followed him. He followed him. That's when you can tell someone really gets something from Jesus. Asking is what separates people who see miracles from the people who don't. Asking is what separates people from experiencing their dreams to those who just dream about their dreams and then never see them come to fruition and just kind of throw it away. Asking opens the door for God's supernatural power in our lives. And if you don't ask, it's going to stay shut. Now, usually when I close a message, and when we close a service here at Key Point Church, I always get you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? We're going to reverse it today. And I want you right now to ask Jesus what you need to be asking. And in fact, I believe Jesus is speaking to you and asking you a question. What do you want me to do for you? He's an earshot away. Though it seems like he's passing out of your life, your town, this time of your life, he will come back. Will you bow your heads with me this morning as we close? What is Jesus asking for? from you? Was the first thought that popped up in your mind, oh, he's not that interested in me? Well, if he wasn't interested in you, then why is he asking you a question? Maybe you're thinking, oh, well, I sinned way too much last week. Well, then ask him right now to forgive you. Or maybe you're thinking, oh, my problem's way too big. There's just no way. There's so much collateral damage. So many other people that would get hurt if this were to come out. Oh, Well, maybe you need to ask God to give you the faith to believe for a miracle in the supernatural, like blind Bartimaeus. Maybe what you need to do is ask Jesus to live in your heart. Every Sunday morning, very early before I even come to the church, I ask every Sunday morning, I ask for a specific number of people for Jesus to save. The church can't do it. I can't do it. It's Jesus. And this morning, I prayed for a specific number for each service. I'm asking. And right now, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if that's what you need to ask today for Jesus to be the Lord of your life, no one looking around, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life right now around the room, just raise your hand. Come on, ask. I'm asking Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Yeah, just raise your hand up high. Yeah, all across the room. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And I'm asking him right now. Yeah, thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. Wow. Will you say this with me out loud? Those that raised their hand, as well as those who didn't. Maybe you meant to raise your hand, but you didn't. I'm going to give you another chance. And I want everybody in this room, let's make this our prayer this morning. Let's ask Jesus to live in our lives. Come on, out loud, everybody, say Jesus. Come on, say his name. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Save my life. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Could I ask you to stand to your feet as we close in one final prayer? Our prayer team's going to be up here at the front. If you need further prayer in a moment, I ask you to take the steps and find one of them and say, hey, pray for me. But let me ask you to close your eyes right now. Maybe this message was for you. Maybe it's time for you to get the prayer requests out from 2016 and rewrite them. Say, God, I'm asking again. Maybe it's time for you to get delivered from a hindrance, maybe a lack of his word. Maybe there's fear involved in the collateral damage. Maybe there's pride. My hands are lifted right now because I'm asking for some big things in 2017. And if God doesn't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So everyone with your eyes closed right now, if this is what you need, this was the word for you today, I want you to raise your hands. If you've never done that before, I just encourage you to do it. You can hold them right there at your side. But in the Bible, whenever people raised their hands, it was a sign of surrender. And Jesus, right now, we are surrendering our will to you. We're surrendering our mind to you. Lord, we ask. We ask according to your will and in your name. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I ask you to show yourself faithful. Lord, I put my hand on that door and I ask. And Lord, I thank you that door is opening to the miracles, Lord. It's opening to the things that I need in my life that I cannot do on my own, that are dictating me. Lord, get me to a place. Lord, I ask you to get me sick and tired of this situation in my life or this issue in my marriage or with my finances or in my own personal thought life. Lord, let me get tired of it so I can start asking for you to change me. And Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for asking me, what do you want me to do for you? And Lord, I thank you that you hear me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Key Point Church, put your hands together this morning for Jesus. Yeah. And let me encourage you, if you're in here, and I believe this could be a lot of you, and you have unanswered prayers, don't let disappointment steal your faith. Don't let it steal your joy. God's still on the throne. He still wants us to rise up in faith and call out to him and call those things that are not as though they are, which will be a message in a couple of weeks, all right? But we're going to see some great things in 2017. You're going to see some great things in this year. Key Point Church is going to experience some tremendous spiritual and physical growth. We're already seeing it. It's going to be an amazing year for us. Amen. Look, if you gave your heart to Jesus, if you asked him to be the Lord of your life, will you take a few moments and fill that conversation card out? Send the seat back right there in front of you. Let us know what took place. I asked Jesus into my life. And what you're doing when you fill that out, give us your address. You're asking us to send you a letter, and that's all we'll do. This is new to you. I understand we're not going to come set up a tent in your front yard and try to sell you Ginzu steak knives. All right, I promise you, all right? All we're going to do is send you a letter and let you know the next steps, because Christianity is your responsibility. And when you invite a church involved in that process, it gets a lot better, especially when the church is life-giving, all right? So allow us in that process with you to help you to become more like Jesus. Don't forget about Wednesday night. Wednesday night's going to be awesome as we continue to fast and pray and call out to God. It was an amazing turnout this past Wednesday night. I'd love to see us break that number and have more people praying and asking God to do great things in our life and in our church. Come and join us as we pray together. Also, don't forget about our next Freedom class, the 1st of February on Battling the Blues. I would encourage you. It's going to be an amazing night. And also, one last thing, if you need prayer, we'll have our prayer team up here. If you need someone to agree with you this morning, say, hey, pray with me about this situation. It's just burdening on my heart, and I need to ask someone to help me. Don't let pride hold you back, all right? You can get to your food a little later. You can get to the football game in a little bit. Let Jesus encounter your heart this morning. Amen. Never forget that Jesus is the key. Have a fantastic day, and we love you.